You know, we women are this way. When we have a recipe that we just love and we think it's so special, we just can't wait to share it with someone else. And this is the way I feel today. God has given me the recipe for the abundant life. And this victorious and this abundant life is found in Jesus Christ. And this is the story that I want to share with you today. I want to begin by telling you that my Christian experience is really not spectacular, but it just shows how God works in the life of an ordinary person. And I want to tell you a little of my family background. I was born into a wonderful Christian home. I was the fourth of five children. There was a brother, the oldest, and then four girls, and we had an exceptionally warm and happy home life together. We had a family orchestra, and I'd just give anything if we could hear how we sound. I think I would. I'm not sure. And I'm dating myself when I say that, but there weren't too many tapes taken in those days, so we don't have a record of it. But we had such family fun together, Christian fun and warm Christian parents. And we were active in our church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nighters. My parents very active in their responsibilities in the church. Father a deacon and mother a soul winner in the cradle roll department. So we've had an exciting life together. And when we have a rich experience like this as children, it really gives us a grievous responsibility to pass that on to others. But something unusual happened at the age of two for me. I had a serious fall, and as a result of this fall, I developed horrible cross eyes. And many problems go along when you have a physical problem. You begin to develop all kinds of inadequacies and insecurities in your life. And, well, just having the boys follow you home from school week after week sometimes for a while and calling you four eyes or cross eyes is enough to make anyone feel a little bit insecure. But I did begin to develop some real problems in this area, even though my parents treated me in a wise and a loving way. And so when my Sunday school teacher said the words of Christ to me when I was 10 years old, those words just stood out in my heart and were really used to the Holy Spirit. And she said, "Follow me and I will make you." The words of Christ, I didn't even hear the rest of that phrase because I knew that I needed all the help that I could get. Those were hard days, difficult days. And I went home that afternoon, and I remember so plainly, even today, that my mom was a busy mother in that big family. But when I told her that I wanted to become a Christian, I tell you, she dropped everything, and we went in the bedroom. And she opened up the Word of God, and she reviewed with me how to become a Christian. We talked Christ in our home. And so it was easy for her just to review with me. And she said, "You remember that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that if we believe in Him and ask Him to forgive us of all of our sins, that He will do just that, and that He is the Son of God." And she continued to review the facts with me. And I understood the things, and I said, "Yes, I believe all this, and I just want to ask forgiveness of my sins and tell Him that I want to be a Christian." And she used that beautiful verse in Revelation 3:20, and she just said, "You know, that's like Christ standing at the door of your heart knocking, and He says, 'Behold, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him.'" And she explained to me that a friend might come in and visit and come in for coffee and stay a while and then go. But if I invited Christ into my heart, that He would come in and He would come in to stay forever. And that word sup meant He would fellowship with me. And I knew that this was what I wanted and what I needed. So that afternoon, it was in just a simple prayer, I asked forgiveness of my sins and I asked Christ to come in and be my Savior. And I tell you, I know that that was the beginning of my Christian life because I was interested in spiritual things all the rest of my school years, and I was faithful to Christ in the activities of the church, and it held me true to Christ in my activities in high school and in college, and I wanted to please Christ with my life, and there was a change of conduct in my life. So I know that was truly the beginning of my Christian life. But then God had something deeper for me to learn, and that's especially what I want to share with you today. I guess it was as I met my husband at college at Oklahoma University. We were both students there together, and we were active in the Baptist Student Union there. And I remember that as we met and dated together, I remember that we prayed on our dates, and we really sought God's will for our life. And I remember that we did feel like God was leading us together into marriage. And I remember on our wedding night that we knelt together by the side of the bed. And we each of us gave God our lives that He might mold us together and that He might be in the center of our lives. And it was such an exciting way to begin a married life with Christ. And we just knew that everything would just be rosy and peachy keen from then on, you know. Well, we began to live this Christian married life together, and we just began to get into some problems. And we would find that sometimes we were just really on a mountaintop, you know, and just really so excited about this Christian life together as a married couple. And then other times we'd just be in the deep valleys of defeat and despair, and we just couldn't understand why we couldn't have a continual plane and be walking with Christ all of the time. And during these years, I might say that we added 3 children. My husband went off to medical school. I taught speech therapy here in Oklahoma City for 7 years while he was getting his medical training. And it was during these years that a real sad thing began to happen in our life. We began to lose our first love, our first priority for Jesus Christ. And I wish that I didn't have to tell you this part of my testimony, but I want to be so honest with you today and show you how the devil can so slowly take you away. He wouldn't have taken us away all at once. He knew we wouldn't buy that. But little by little, we became so busy with school teaching and medical school and adding the family that we weren't as faithful in our devotional life and we weren't as faithful in our fellowshipping with Christ. And for someone who's enjoyed fellowshipping with Christ and to lose it, you're a miserable person. Well, just 9 years ago last month, I was such a defeated, discouraged Christian that if anyone had told me I'd be standing up here today, I'd say that'd be completely impossible. But with Christ, anything is possible. But the way Christ dealt in my life at this time was that He allowed defeat and discouragement to come into my life. And I want to describe some of the things that I was going through at this time. Perhaps someone here might be able to identify with some of this, and then I want to give you the solution to this problem today, the purpose of my being here. But I became extremely critical. If my husband had a fault at all, I was very careful to point it out to him. I was nagging our children, and I was so defeated and so extremely discouraged that it seemed like I just wasn't the Christian wife and I wasn't the Christian mother that I knew God wanted me to be. And yet I really wanted to be different than that, but I didn't seem to know how to break the spell, and I was living this life in my own strength, and it just never works. You can't live the Christian life without Christ living in and through you. And so God wanted me to learn this in a deeper way. And so about this time it was Christmas, and I loved to sing and I enjoyed this music so much. And you know, just a big old lump would come up in my heart every time I tried to sing at Christmas time, and I just couldn't even practice the carols because I was so out of fellowship to Christ. I had no joy in my heart. I just couldn't sing. We're miserable when we're out of fellowship with Christ. There's no state more miserable. But God is so faithful and He is so loving that in January He brought a pastor here for a week conference. And I tell you, the first night I went to that conference with my husband, I found the solution to my problem. And this pastor began to read from Romans 7, verses about 15 through 25, a perfect description of my life at that time, Romans 7, 15 through about 25. You might read it. And it goes something like this. It says, I really don't understand myself at all. The things I try not to do, I do anyway. And when I say I'm going to be good, I'm not. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Does that sound like a description of any of us? And oh, there was this 32 capital I's in this chapter of Romans 7. I, self, 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 pride, pride, pride. And it was just like the Holy Spirit turned a light on upstairs in my frontal lobe. And He just said, you know, self is guiding and controlling your life. And then this pastor went on and did a beautiful thing. He read from Romans 8, verses about 1 through 11, which give the solution to this problem. And these verses in Romans 8 describe the victorious Christian life. And that verse 5 from there says this, those who let themselves be controlled by their lower fleshly natures live only to please themselves. And I just want to stop right there because the Lord just showed me that's exactly what I was doing. I was planning my days the way I wanted to do them, doing what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. And about this time I heard a description of sin, and it said that sin is having your own way. And I knew that was exactly what I was doing. And it really hurt me for the Lord to show me that self was in control of my life when here I was teaching a Sunday school class and I was calling myself a Christian. And so the last half of that beautiful verse, though, gives the solution. Romans 8:5, and it says, "But those who follow after the Holy Spirit find themselves doing those things that please God." And you know, I knew for the first time that it was a choice, that we have two natures. There's going to be always this lower fleshly nature or self that's going to want to guide and direct and control our life. And we'll just be pleasing ourselves when we let it control our lives. And I might add, we'll be extremely miserable people. But we can let the Holy Spirit control our life, and we will find ourselves doing those things that please God because He can empower us to live such a different kind of life. And I got so excited, and I couldn't wait till I got home that night, put those children down to bed, and I tell you, I began to read those scriptures again, and I thanked the Lord for showing me the error of my ways and that that old self was sitting upon the throne of my heart just guiding and directing it. And so I knelt that night, and I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, self has been so in control of this life, and I no longer want self to be in control of my life. I just give you my life totally and completely. I want to give you all that I am and all that I have." And I just began to name everything I could think of. I named my husband, first of all. I named our children. I wanted to give them to him. I gave him our home. I gave him my husband's medical practice. I gave him my church work, my school work. Things, everything I could think of, said, "Lord, now I know that I've been in control, but I want you to have everything of me and all that I own." He had me totally and completely for the first time. And do you know that's the secret right there? If He can get hold of us totally and completely, then He can really begin to do with us what He wants to do. You see, before this, I had been giving Him my time and my talents, but I hadn't given Him my life. And that's the first thing He wants. I'd give them in the wrong order. And I want to tell you, there were no flashing lights or no ringing bells, but I just had a calm assurance that Christ had heard my prayers and that He had accepted me. It's like I read a free translation of that Isaiah 6 the other day, and it says, it's the one that says, "Lord, here am I, send me." And it was like I was saying, "Lord, here am I, will I do?" You know, and I would. He accepts us as we are. And so this pastor this night made another suggestion, and I tell you, I wanted my heart to be so rightly related to Jesus Christ that I wanted to do anything he suggested. And he said, "If you haven't been careful as a Christian to cleanse your life of your sins, why don't you just go home and make you a list of all the sins you can think of?" Now, he said, "You won't be able to think of all your sins," and I knew that one already. And he said, "Just make a list, though." And he said, "Across that list of sins, write 1 John 1:9. And that verse says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I knew that last little phrase, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, because the attitude of my heart was right. Any of those I couldn't think of, I knew the Lord would cleanse me. And do you know, when I did this, I had the sweetest peace that I have ever experienced. I knew that God had heard my prayers, had cleansed my life, and for the first time in a long time, I was rightly related to Jesus Christ again. And do you know, I had my first answered prayer the very next morning, that at the top of that list of sins, I had been doing a horrible thing to our oldest daughter, who was 12 at this time, and I'd been nagging her about her bangs, which I have long bangs now. I'd been nagging her about this mop of hair down in her eyes, and I might say it was nothing like the hair today. And I want to say, too, there's enough grace for the hair today, because I found this really true. But the Lord taught me a beautiful lesson through this. I just gave him her hair totally and completely, and I said, Lord, I've just been so out of fellowship over this girl's hair, and you've been telling me there are other things to talk to her about, but I just, a carnal Christian has no control. I'd say, I'll never mention that hair again, and it was just out. And so I put at the top of that list for him just to take over that and never to open my mouth again unless he wanted me to concerning that. And do you know, I looked up after the breakfast table the next morning, hadn't even looked up at my family until after the blessing, and I pulled something hot out of the oven, looked up after the blessing, and Cindy's hair was adorable. Oh, I just began to boo-hoo, and I said, oh, Cindy, what did you do with your hair? And she says, oh, I don't know, Mother, my hair just wouldn't do anything this morning. I just saw this bow, and I stuck it in, and I liked it. I didn't know when God wanted me to tell my family about this deeper commitment of my life, but you know, this seemed the right moment. And I can hardly keep from crying to tell you this, because this moment was so meaningful in our life. And I just turned to Cindy and I said, Cindy, I have so nagged you about your hair when I knew I needed to talk to you about more important things. Will you just forgive me? And I told her that I had just given that to Christ and I wanted to ask her forgiveness. I'd ask God's forgiveness. And with Christ in the center of our home, things could be different. And do you know what she told me? And she began to cry, being the women that we are. And she says, oh, Mom, I've used that against you too. And she said, I'm sorry. And she said, could I just make a deeper commitment of my life to Christ? I'm telling you, we had a crying good time at that breakfast table that morning. Oh, it was so wonderful. My husband said, don't leave me out of this. And we turned, and he had been making a deeper commitment off in the other end of the house when I'd been making my commitment. And we didn't tell the other until this moment. And you know, God molded us together as a family in the most beautiful way. And we looked to those little 2- and 4-year-old children at that time, and we said, you know, our home can really begin to be so different with Christ really in the center of it, and with him sitting upon the throne room of our heart, guiding and directing it. And it's just so exciting. I could tell you story after story after story how he's changed our home since Christ is in control. And it's a growing process. I wouldn't ever want to stand here and make you think that this is a successful home and we'd never sin or we never fall and we never have impatience, because I wouldn't be honest, and I want to be honest. But I see through all the problems and stresses and the faux pas and the failures that we can always just say, I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. We're learning to forgive in a deeper way than we ever had before. And maybe just one little illustration or two would show you, because before this, I'd been praying that my husband and my children would change. And guess where he started? Right in me and in my heart and in our home. I was the one that needed to change. And when I changed, everyone in the whole family changed in reaction to me. You see, God only needs one willing heart in every home. And then every other person can change in direct proportion to what we allow Christ to do in our heart. I just pray that there'll be hearts that'll be willing after this sharing today to do this and to be the one willing heart in your home. But it was so exciting what he began to do. I came in just, it was last May, and I'd been teaching a lesson on disciplining our children, and we're still growing in that area too. Long ways to go yet. But the Lord tested me immediately on what I learned from that lesson, because as I came in the door after school, I'd run to the grocery store to pick up something and I lacked for dinner. Came in, and here were these children who now they were fifth and seventh graders at this time last May. And I came in and they were just verbally going at each other and just destroying egos and not sounding Christ-like, and they're Christians. And so I remembered one of the points in that lesson, and it said, when your children are having a problem, just stand over them and pray and say, God, how would you have me to deal with this problem? You know, this way, or sit down and patiently talk, or how would you have me to deal with this situation? And do you know, just turning my thoughts to Christ, he created in my mind what he wanted me to do in that circumstance. And that one circumstance has made our whole summer so completely different. And I believe from now on it's a principle of life. And that's why I wanted to share it with you. But I asked the children if they would role play and each of them say what the other had said with inflection of voice and all. And they had repeated one line each to the other, and the initiator that day was evidently Susan, and she burst into tears. And she says, "Oh, Mama, can I just ask God's forgiveness right here?" And I said, "Yes, you can." And she just bowed her head, and she asked God to forgive her for being cross to her brother and for causing him to sin and to flare back. And it was so precious. And, you know, I just waited, hoping that Mark would pray a prayer. And he didn't. And God seemed to say, you know, these little boys. And so God seemed to say to me, you know, just speak to him and tell him what he needs to do. And you know what God put in my heart to tell him? He said, "Why don't you just tell Mark, just be honest with me. Tell me how you honestly feel. Begin your prayer that way." You know, when we most need to pray is when we most not want to pray. And so I said, "Mark, could you start out and could you just be honest? Could you just say, 'God, I'm so mad at my sister. My heart is so rebellious, you know. And then if you could just say, would you forgive me for that? Because I know you don't want our hearts to be mad and rebellious and ugly. And then, Lord, would you go a step further and would you just heal me? Would you just heal that hurt and that madness in my heart?'" And you know, I waited a minute or two, and Mark prayed that very prayer. And do you know, the minute he finished praying, one of the children says, "Oh, Mom, I forgot to tell you about something." And it was so precious, the Holy Spirit warmed that whole room. And you know what Satan wanted for that afternoon and evening in our home? He wanted them just to be yawn back and forth all night. A lost evening as far as a Christ-centered home. A lost evening as far as loving and forgiving. And we talked about how that's what Satan wanted to do. You've heard that saying, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But have you heard Satan hates you and has a terrible plan for your life? And we talk about that in our home and how he wants to destroy our happy hours together in Christian fellowship as a family. And so it was so exciting to me, though, what Mark said that night as I tucked him in. You know how angelic they can get at bedtime. And, oh, how they want to stay up a little longer and talk. But, oh, I cherish these hours that he talks at night. That's when he gives me so much that I can add to my prayer list. And our night times, oh, our nighttime conversations are some of the most exciting things that happen to our in our household as we put our children to bed. And, you know, I'd gotten real careless during the Christmas season, and I'd missed, you know, maybe like several weeks, and I just don't like to do that. And we'd had company late, so they'd go on to bed and other things. And we had a little problem come up, and the Lord said, "You know, you haven't been fellowshipping with that boy and that girl each night and tucking them in like you usually do and letting them tell you what were their problems that day and praying about it." And do you know that boy comes to me every night now? I said, "Mark, if I ever forget it, you come and remind me, because we both need this." And do you know, he wouldn't keep coming and getting me every night if he didn't enjoy that time with the Lord and with us together. But what he told me this night was so significant. He just folded those little arms behind his head and he said, "Mama, I'm so glad you waited for me to pray that prayer, because," he says, "it's the first time I can ever remember that God took anger out of my heart." And you see, we're learning that God heals our wrong attitudes. So many times we don't even think to ask him to do that. And I know we've just had the most exciting and warmest summertime that we've ever had in our family, with all the family home. We're all teasers and they have their daddies with, and we'd get to teasing a little hard sometimes, and now I see them going over and say, "Oh, I didn't mean that. I shouldn't have been so rough on you," or something, and just asking forgiveness and loving the other one on the spot. And you know, I know that's what Christ wants for our homes, because there's a coldness that comes into our life without it. And, oh, we could just tell you time after time and illustration after illustration, but it's just so beautiful that everything that happens in our home now, we're trying to remember to relate it to the adequacy of Jesus Christ. There is no heart problem that Jesus Christ cannot satisfy. Another little illustration that just comes to my mind just happened last night. Mark was doing makeup homework after being out of school for 2 weeks with pneumonia recently, and it was stacked up to here, and he was so discouraged, and he was on about the last 6 pages of math, and those last 3 pages, he just couldn't get it on. And I happened to be in the same room with him. He said, "Mama, when will Daddy be home? I just can't get this math." He knows that I don't have enough fingers and toes to help him in math. He just never asked me. Oh, my. That is out of my category. But I was so concerned because I knew his father was at the hospital and wouldn't be home for another hour, and I knew this work was due. And so I stood there thinking, and I said, oh, Mark, I have an idea. Let's just pray about it. Let's just ask God. Now, he lives inside of you, so let's just ask him to use your mind, to think through your mind, and help you to figure out these problems right now tonight. And we just bowed our head, and he cleansed his life. He asked God to forgive him his sins, and he said, just think with my mind and help me to figure out this work. And you know, we just prayed that little prayer. I went back to what I was doing, and he went back, and he sat there for a while, and I heard a few sighs and groans, and I just kept praying, Lord, you got to do it. I really put you on the spot this time. Oh, my. And do you know that in a few minutes, I just heard that pencil. He said, he did it. I've got it. It's so precious. And I knew that time it had to go through the boy's mind. You know, God would really have to do an extra special miracle to take it through my mind, I tell you. But it's so exciting when you do these little things. He got excited. I got excited. And you can't convince this little boy that he isn't a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God, because we're just depending upon him. There is no problem in our life, I mean not any problem, that Jesus Christ is not adequate to take care of. Do you know that he loves us so much that he might even allow us to have some problems and some trials and some financial needs, some marriage needs? He might even allow those in our lives that he might get a deeper hold of our soul and bring us to him in a vital and a fresh way. He loves us that much. And so we're just finding this adequacy in our life of going to Christ about all of our heart needs. And I just have to say something about our oldest daughter, because I so totally committed her to Christ, and I just wonder where she might be today if I hadn't been willing to totally commit my life to Jesus Christ, because I was destroying she and her husband just bit by bit and piece by piece in the way I was reacting to them and when old self was on the throne room of my heart. But do you know that God has done the most beautiful work in her heart, and so many times I find that she's the one that is uplifting me and ministering to my heart needs. It is so beautiful. She has totally committed her life to Jesus Christ. He's guiding her perhaps into Christian counseling, BSU work. I know it's going to be exciting, and it's just fun for me to stand back as a mother and see what he's going to do in the life of this girl and do with her life. But you see, it makes me shudder, because if I hadn't been willing to totally commit myself to Jesus Christ, it would be very difficult for a mother to encourage a total commitment of her child, you see. So I'm thankful for what he's doing in her life. And I think of a verse in that Matthew 5:7 that just expresses what Cindy's doing now in her friendships and her relationships. I see her healing relationships in our home, and I've learned so much from her. And this verse just makes me think of her and the beautiful discernment that God has given her for where he's leading her in life. But this verse goes something like this from Matthew 5:7. Oh, the bliss of the man who learns how to get right inside other people until he can see with their eyes and think with their thoughts and feel with their feelings. For he who does that will know that this is what God did in Jesus Christ. And it's just so beautiful that to see God working and growing and changing and molding lives and using her life in this way. And then I have to tell you what he's done in the life of that husband, because it's so exciting to me. He's given him a real boldness to share Jesus Christ in the office. He carries the four laws and the Holy Spirit tracts in his books. And there was a fellow in his office that we just wept over last spring. He had had a serious physical problem, and he had come back into the office this particular day for his recheck. His physical problem was taken care of, and he was well physically. And my husband said all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just urged him to say, well, now that's your physical problem taken care of. What about your spiritual life? And you know, the man broke down and sobbed. And he said, I just need help so badly there. And my husband was just able to share Christ and tell him how he could come to know him as a personal Savior. And we sat there and wept, because we were so excited that God is giving him opportunities through his office to really share Christ. And another exciting thing he's doing, you know, this age of tranquilizers and aspirins, and some women come in and say, my children are driving me to distraction, or give me some more tranquilizers. And do you know, know what God is giving them boldness to do now on the hearts that are ready? He just urges them on, it seems like, on the hearts that are ready to say, you know, I found out in my life that I was trying to live the Christian life in my own strength. And that's when I got so nervous and so uptight and so tense and I wasn't able to cope with situations and I just came to failure every time. And I found out that we can only live this life when Jesus Christ is inside of our life and living His life in and through us. And so He just begins to share. And do you know some of those girls that He shared with in His office, He's adding to my weekly Bible study, and that's so exciting. And some of them have just said, you know, it's a whole new way of life. It's so exciting. I didn't know it was possible that I could learn to be strong in the strength of another.